everyone. Welcome to a live edition of Way In Sports. I'm your host, Brian Tarvin, and I apologize for being late. I wasn't going to be able to do a show tonight, but I wanted to stop by, mention some things that's happening this week in the wide world of sports here. Trey Patterson is not with me tonight. He is on vacation, so right now I'm flying solo, so the call-in number is 646-716-5564. That's 646-716-5564. And I know some people were trying to get on earlier. I apologize. I had to get my wife from the airport. She's been out of town all week, so I had to pick her up, and now I'm back. And in Atlanta, you can't really plan your week or your travel time. If you think it's going to take you 20 minutes, add an hour to that. So anyway, I'm here. It's Wednesday night, and we appreciate you tuning in with us. Actually, there's not too much going on in the sports world, but, you know, we're going to talk some NFL maybe just for a minute. We'll talk some college football, and now college basketball is really heating up. But in the college football world right now, some big news out of Miami. The NCAA has come out and ruled that, you know, charged Miami with really lack of institutional control. And this is the worst thing that a school could be tagged with. I mean, to have that clause in the letter, lack of institutional control, which really means is Miami is about to get hammered. But, you know, with everything that's happened in the last few days with showing corruption in the NCAA and people getting fired, actually. I know the lady, she got fired for actually paying for information. And it just goes to show, guys, that nothing is legit, that everything's corrupt. And the NCAA wants to roll around and act like that everything's just perfect with them, that they abide by the rules. But, you know, at the end of the day, who's governing these guys? Who's holding them accountable? And so I'm glad to see that someone finally stepped up and took control of this because, look, the NCAA is as dirty as they come. And I remember with the Cam Newton investigation, it was like they tried so hard to find something. They knew something was there. And, I mean, anybody with common sense probably knew that Cam Newton got paid something. I mean, there was some money changing hands somewhere, but it just made the NCAA so sick that they couldn't prove it. And at the end of the day, if you cannot prove something, you know, I mean, you have no subpoena power if you're the NCAA. So you're sitting here just hoping something turns up so you can nail somebody. And that's what they tried to do to Auburn. They didn't need too much help with Southern Cal. And even with Penn State, they came in and Emmert acted, you know, very quick with the Penn State and just really hammered these guys. So every kid that's playing at Penn State right now is going to suffer for years to come because of this guy. And so right now with the Miami investigation going on, this quick decision that he made came just a day after, you know, Rocha, I think her name, was fired, actually. So this is his last chance, guys. Emmert is not going to be NCAA president much longer. You can mark my words on that. The clock is ticking. There is no way he's going to be president anymore. Probably in the next few months he'll be removed. So this is his last chance to show that he's the great and powerful, you know, NCAA president. But if you're Miami right now, I mean, do you really just sit here and take this without fighting back? Because if you're Miami, you've already self-imposed a 2-year bowl ban. I believe you took some scholarships away already, but Miami believes that's going to be all of it. But you know as well as I do, this investigation wouldn't have continued if this was going to be all of it. Miami is going to be hit with serious sanctions because, look, let's face it, guys, Miami is probably one of the dirtiest programs in the country. And if you look at their track record right now and everything that's been going on the last 20 years at Miami, it's a joke. So the reason these guys, you know, it's been going on so long is because the NCAA uncovered some things that they were doing wrong. So, you know, Miami's president's going to fight this hard, and very hard they're going to fight. And, you know, speaking of Miami coaches, I believe Cristobal, the offensive, he's going to take a job. Mario Cristobal is the offensive line coach at Alabama. So So he's jumping ship. So a lot of these Miami coaches will be, you know, finding other work. But at the end of the day, what do you think? What do the fans out there think? Does Miami deserve, you know, the death penalty, really? Do they deserve some sort of probation that actually is a lot worse than what they self-impose? Because, look, nobody's going to self-impose penalties that's going to be greater than the NCAA. That's just not how life works. You're always going to take it easier. So it shows you how bad Miami was. When you look at, if they self-impose 2 years bowl ban and scholarships, you know, without even any results, you know they know it's terrible and it's going to be bad. So I'm thinking a five-year bowl ban, at least 5 years, 3 to 5 years. I'm going to say five. Some serious scholarship reductions. And, guys, look, Miami doesn't have anybody coming to the games anyway. So now what are these fans going to do and the students going to do now that these guys will be on probation? It's sad to see, because I've seen a lot of kids, you know, commit to Miami this year. And, you know, I just don't understand why a kid would commit to a school that is about to get hammered. I saw a five-star receiver that was ticking between Auburn, Texas A&M, and then, you know, it was down to those two. The kid's been committed to Texas A&M for a year. All of a sudden, Auburn comes into the picture, and I don't believe Miami was ever in the picture until yesterday, or Monday or Tuesday, he committed to Miami out of nowhere. So it just makes me wonder, I mean, how is Miami turning a five-star recruit from a Texas A&M school that's really on the up and up, and an Auburn team that's in need of receivers with Gus Malzahn as the offensive coordinator? So I just wonder about that. I mean, why would you want to go? But anyway, I mean, long story short, Miami, it's going to be a drawn-out process. Miami still gets to defend themselves. These are all allegations, so Miami people mentioned in this letter will be able, you know, to defend themselves and maybe discredit what the NCAA say. So it's going to be interesting to see. So, I mean, let me know what you think, 646-716-5564. I'm not going a long time tonight, but I did not want to go a Wednesday night without doing a show, even if it's a short show, because I just want to be consistent with you Sunday night and Wednesday night. And so here we are. And there's something else. The Big 12, you know, right now in college football, they're a big conference that, you know, they don't have a conference championship game because of the amount of teams. And it looks like, you know, the Big 12 is not going to push for this game. So if you're the Big 12, do you really want this game? Because we've seen some Big 12 championships, SEC championship games, where the best team doesn't win. And that game can cost you a national championship spot. And I mean, I've seen the Big 12 champion lose and actually make it to the national championships. Just so looking at it right now, what is the Big 12 going to do in order to get, you know, up to that 12 required members in order to play this game? Because I think it's very unfair that a conference, you know, that gets this an automatic qualifier doesn't have a conference championship. And it's unfair in ways, and it's also unfair because, you know, all these other teams have to win that extra game. So if you're in the Big Ten, you're having to beat a division champion. If you're in the SEC, you're having to beat another quality opponent to get to that game. So when Oklahoma or, you know, whoever, Oklahoma State in that conference, Texas, you know, makes it to that end of the regular season unscathed, you know, they have nothing else to do. So it's very hard when you're 12-0, 11-1, and you're playing in that championship game to see if you make it to the national championship game. So I don't know. If I'm, you know, the voters and everything, I really take this into consideration. If I have a 13-0 Big Ten team that won their conference over a 12-0 Oklahoma team, I'm going to take that Big Ten team probably. If it's close, if the teams are very close, not too far apart, I'm going to take the team, you know, that played and won their conference truly and won that championship game. So if you're the Big 12 right now, I mean, tell me, guys, what you think. Should they want this game? You know, I really do believe they should get it because everyone else plays it. You see the Pac-12, they play it. The Big Ten plays it. The ACC plays it. Even the Big East, I think, has a championship game. So every major conference is playing this. So the Big 12, doesn't want to. And I'd say even with five teams or 10 teams in your conference, play that game in some way, make it to where they play it anyway, regardless of what's going on. And that way it just makes everything more even playing ground, because in the next couple of years, we're going to have a scenario, you know, the top four teams are going to make it. And I really do believe if they don't find something soon, you know, to take the place of this, that they could easily be left out and be that fifth team. So if you're the Big 12, you better be soul searching, trying to find two more teams to come in and see what's happening, because, I mean, this could be a lot of controversy coming up. And it, like I said, it's just unfair, guys. Well, in college basketball, last night was an interesting night. We had number one Indiana go on the road to number four Michigan State, and Indiana pulled off a good win. I mean, it was a tough game. It was hard fought. I really enjoyed watching this game, and it really shows how good Indiana was in that game. I mean, these guys came out, and they punched hard on the road. You go on the road against a top five team, and you win. I mean, that's saying a lot. So congratulations to Indiana. They're the number one team right now. Will it last? I mean, can they make it through a March Madness bracket after they're going to go through a tournament, a Big Ten tournament. And the Big Ten is the strongest conference in basketball right now. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do. And I spoke about this on the last show, but the Big East, you know, was at one time the best basketball conference in America. And then, you know, they would play that grueling long, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday tournament. And the winner of that game was so give out and worn out that they couldn't make it for that NCAA tournament. They were out of gas. So it's just going to be interesting to see how it pans out when you're playing tough competition, even in that first, second round, how you coast through. In the next week, you have to play the big tournament. So we're going to see. And also, how many teams are going to actually – you know, kind of get eliminated from that tournament on purpose just to get that extra couple of days rest. So if you play Thursday night in your conference tournament, you know you're going to make the tournament, lose Thursday night, and you have a whole week to rest, where if you play for your conference championship on Sunday, then you have a shorter turnaround. So let me know what you think, 646-716-5564. And we're glad you joined us tonight. We really appreciate you joining us. And in another game last night, it was a game that I was worried about. You know, every time I boost up a team, every time I give kudos to a team, they lose. So the last show, I was really high on the Florida Gators, and they laid an egg last night. Excuse me. They had a 12 or 14-point lead and late in the second half, and they ended up losing the game. So Missouri at home, coming off a tough loss on the road at Arkansas last week, bounce back and beat the Gators. So looking at the Florida Gators in this tournament, you know, before that game, I had them probably going to be a number one seed eventually. But after losing to Missouri, these guys are going to drop possibly out of the top 10, and they should, actually. So the Florida Gators have an uphill climb, getting that three seed tough. But I think that's probably where they'll be in this tournament, unless they just win it all, unless they just win the entire SEC tournament, go on a run. So I like the Florida Gators. I mean, I think they're a tournament-built team. I think Billy Donovan has done wonders with that team. He's won two championships. He knows what it's about to get to that level, and how to coach in the first round, how to coach in the second round, how to coach in the Sweet 16. I mean, so it's very good that he already has that experience. No player on that team has that kind of experience yet. Everybody's already gone to the NBA or graduated, so he's got a chance to lead these guys. And I'm telling you, if Florida's like Duke, if they get hot, they're impossible to beat, because these guys hit, what, 10, 15 three-pointers a game. And when Florida's on, they're on. And it's going to be hard to beat them, because they do play defense. And that's one thing Sunday night we're going to start getting into, is we're going to start breaking down this NCAA, you know, how we see the NCAA tournament going to unfold. Which teams are bubble teams, which ones are going to end up making it, which teams are going to be left out. So at this time of year, it gets very exciting, and we're approaching our one-year anniversary for Weigh In Sports. So pretty soon, I've got to figure out the date again, which one it was, but we're going to have a big show and hopefully have some great guests on to celebrate a one-year anniversary for Weigh In Sports. We started with I had a co-host, Everett Potts, join me. We started the show, and then Chris Ricketts was with us, and now Trey Patterson is with me. So Trey does a great job as well, co-hosting the show. But we've had shows that hit 100,000 listeners, and that's saying a lot. When you start, you know, and you have 20 listeners to your show, and it creeps up to 50, maybe to 100 one day, and to getting guests like Tom Luganville, AJ Sherbert, or A.C. Sherbert, I believe, I'm sorry. We've had Mike Blanc. We've had some great guests that come on this show. Jake Crane helped us get started. There's a lot of people we want to thank, and we're going to have some great shows leading up to our anniversary. But the fun part where we started this whole show was March Madness, really, getting, you know, picking our brackets, being able to pick the sleepers, to pick the teams that's on the bubble. You know, it was very fun, and, you know, Everett was on there at the time, and he nailed some of these games. So I'm going to bring Big E back on and hopefully pick some of these games with us. And we're going to talk some Major League Baseball starting to heat up a little bit. Pitchers and catchers have already reported. You know, some trades going on, people getting some big contracts. It's just, I mean, is this the year the Braves can put it together and win? There's a lot to talk about. They made some key acquisitions in the offseason. They bolstered their outfield up. The outfield looks a lot better, but the bottom line is, does the Braves have the pitching? And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Yankees, how they're going to do with A-Rod, and see how they're going to bounce back. I mean, how long is Jeter going to be able to hold up? I mean, there's just so much baseball time. I mean, there's so much to talk about. We can't talk about baseball every show because it's just so much going on. But we will do our fantasy baseball draft, guys. So if you want to see two people draft that really love fantasy baseball, come join me and Trey. And we really love to draft. Jonathan Miklos is going to join us for the draft and actually analyze our drafts, what we're picking. So it should be some fun stuff going on. We really enjoy fantasy baseball and the fantasy baseball draft. So we'll be doing that. And we'll also be talking some NBA basketball. I mean, we talked about the All-Star game the other night. Actually, you know, we were doing the show during the game, and it was a great game, actually. I mean, these guys were playing very hard. The defense was not there, but still, I mean, it was a very competitive basketball game. It looked like both teams actually wanted to be there. Surprise, surprise. But the MVP of the game, I don't know if it was a surprise to anyone, but the Clippers, I think Chris Paul was the first Clipper to win that award ever, I believe. I could be mistaken, though, so if I am, I apologize. But great All-Star game. The Clippers well represented. So here we are in the second half of the NBA, guys, and the question that's on everybody's mind is, you know, number one, what's going to happen with the Lakers? I mean, are they just going to fade away with owner Jerry Buss passing away? That's a big loss for this organization. Jerry Buss has been responsible for everything good that's happened in L.A., a great owner. He's a great dad. From what you hear, he's a great poker player. You saw him on the World Series of Poker, I believe, the World Poker Tour. The guy likes to play poker, even though to me he's easy to read when you watch him. So, a great man. We're sorry to hear about that, and just a bad time for the Lakers. But is this something that will actually trigger the Lakers into playing better basketball? You know, you start playing a team with purpose and some emotion. Is that enough to get the Lakers, you know, getting over what they've been doing? Because they've been terrible. They haven't been playing as a team. They haven't played defense since preseason. And here they are just sitting in an embarrassing situation. I mean, this is the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, it's not hard to make the top eight. And these guys are out right now as we talk about it. You know, 25-29, 13 games out of first. They're not too far out of the eighth seed, though. So, but if you get the eight, guess what you get? You get, you know, you get the Spurs or you get the Thunder, someone like that. So I guess it, or the Clippers possibly. So if you're going to play in the playoffs, you might as well just go ahead and try to knock off the number one seed. And I think that's what you'll see if the Lakers make the playoffs. They'll be playing a number one or two seed. And, you know, that's if I'm the one or two seed, I'm kind of scared, because what it means is the Lakers are playing good basketball now. And so, you know, if Kobe gets rolling, it's on. And you have Dwight Howard. Is Dwight Howard going to be traded from L.A., or is he going to play like a man and actually give it his all? I mean, this is a job. He needs to treat this as a job like we do every day. We go to work. We pay the bills, guys. Dwight Howard, he's no better than anyone else. So it's time for him to shut his mouth, get out there and play some basketball, be a team player. And this might be your last season in L.A., first and last season. Well, if it is, that's great. But just leave it all on the court. Kobe Bryant is too great of a player, and he doesn't have much time left for you to be wasting time. I mean, everybody thought, Trey and I thought, you know, when we saw this move where they got Steve Nash and Dwight Howard, we thought, my gosh, I mean, who could beat these guys? And it goes to show you, I mean, all-stars don't matter on your team. You have to have some great players, don't get me wrong. But if you do not have camaraderie, then it's just for naught. I mean, everybody thought it was going to be great. Look at the Dodgers. I mean, they tried to pay their way into the playoffs last year, buy their way in, and look what happened to them. I mean, they just choked away. They had no camaraderie, no sportsmanship on their team. It looked like they didn't want to be there. So looking at it, I mean, you have to build a team, and baseball too is not a team. It's not a sport you can just, you know, in the end of the season put four or five new faces together and expect them to win baseball games. It just doesn't happen that way. So Dwight Howard, guys, 646-716-5564, what is he going to do? Is he going to play? Is he going to wake up and play for the Lakers, or are they just going to trade him away and get what they can out of him now? And I really think Dwight Howard could possibly be in Atlanta next year, you know, being for the Hawks. He seems like to me a better fit for Atlanta and a smaller city with not as much spotlight on it. I think that's where Dwight Howard needs to be. And I think somewhere like Atlanta, he could end up being Portland, you know, somewhere low-key like that. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen and see where he goes, because, you know, everybody's eyes are on him right now just to see, hey, where is he going to go? What is he going to do with L.A.? I'm going to go ahead and make a prediction that I think the Lakers get in the playoffs some way just because of Kobe Bryant. You know, Gasol's hurt right now. It's not looking good. But the Lakers GM, you know, said that Howard is the future, you know, for the Lakers, which I think that's BS. I mean, there's no way you could say he's the future of the Lakers right now. I mean, he killed Orlando with the way he acted. He killed his reputation. And now in L.A., he's not doing very well to top that. So right now, just a real quick update, Miami up 76-73 on the Hawks here in Atlanta. Atlanta was up good in this game, and it's just these guys have let off the gas. I think Miami's on a 13-0 run. I mean, you can't – if you're at home, you can't allow these guys to stay in the game like this. You have to put the pedal to the metal and knock them out. Miami's too good of a team to sit there and give them opportunity after opportunity to sneak back in. But real quick, we'll go through some of the scores. Right now, the Thunder up 95-87 over the Rockets in Houston. Later on tonight, the Lakers are home against the Celtics. And let's go to college basketball update real quick. Syracuse over Providence, big. And right now, a great game at the half. Oklahoma State, number 14, against number 9, Kansas, tied 26 all at the half. So the games aren't as gut-wrenching as last night, but there's some decent games on. It's conference time. Not too much time left, guys, for basketball, college basketball. It's going to be some fun stuff, but I'm not going to keep you long tonight. I know people thought the show was canceled earlier on the show. I apologize for that. That's my bad. But Sunday night, join us. We'll be doing a show from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern, maybe 9 to 10:30. It just depends. I don't believe Trey's going to be with us, but I'll have somebody co-hosting the show with me. So make sure you join us. And guys, go to Twitter and check us out at WeighInSports. Trey does a great job on the Twitter, making sure, you know, everything's updated. We have some good followers on Twitter and everything. So come join us. Contact us through that, or you can go to Facebook. You know, we have a message board or a group, WeighInSports. or you can go to our page, Weigh In Sports Talk, and actually like our page. So pretty soon we'll have our own website. That's what we're looking to do. So we'll just run everything straight through our website. So be patient with us. We've had a lot going on, so pretty soon we'll have that website, so you don't have to come into Blog Talk Radio anymore. You can just come to our website and get on the show. It'll be great. So, again, thanks for joining me tonight for this small show. And I'm going to let you guys go. But Sunday night, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern, please join us, and we'll have some fun. But before we go, let me talk real quick. The four people that were arrested in Alabama, the players, right now they've been indefinitely suspended. I'm just wondering how long it's going to be before they're actually kicked off the team for good. They're actually trying to plead youthful offender status. So I just wanted to reach out and let y'all know the update on that, since we have been talking about that on the last shows. So keep in touch with us, and we'll see you Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Brian, I will see you Sunday night. Hope all of you have a great, safe week, and look forward to hearing from you Sunday night.